once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Well, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry. Jesus makes it right.
It's all right.
All right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
All right.
It's all right.
It's all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
It's all right.
All right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
All right.
It's all right.
It's all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. With Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. It's all
morning, everyone. My name is Kathleen Rowe. I'm a deacon here at Village, and it's my privilege to read the scripture this month. The scripture can be found in the Pew Bible on page 949, or you can follow along with the screen up here. It's from Luke 12, 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." May God give us understanding of the reading of this holy word.
It is now official. Bowie is a great place to live. That is not just my opinion. That's the conclusion of Money Magazine in its annual survey of small cities across America. They define a small city as one having a population of 50,000 to 300,000. And using a formula that measured 8 indices, the magazine reviewed some 781 small cities across the country. Of those 781 small cities, Bowie ranked number 28. That puts our city in the top 4% of all small cities in America. The only small cities that ranked higher than Bowie in Maryland were Columbia in Howard County and Rockville in Montgomery County. Columbia ranked number 6 in the nation, Rockville ranked number 24. But being ranked 28th in the United States is not too shabby. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you live in Crofton or Upper Marlboro or Davisonville or Calvert County, or you live close enough to bask in some of our glory. The 8 factors that the magazine used to determine quality of life were economic opportunity and jobs, education, housing affordability, crime, health, arts and leisure, ease of living, and diversity. Using those criteria, Bowie ranked higher than Bethesda, higher than Frederick, higher than Gaithersburg, higher than Germantown, higher than Silver Spring, higher than Towson, higher than Waldorf. But we're not bragging. Now, according to the survey, the number one city in America, number one small city, is McKinney, Texas, north of Dallas. Go figure. Number 2 is Maple Grove, Minnesota, northwest of Minneapolis. Number 3 is Carmel, Indiana, north of Indianapolis. Apparently, they did not take climate into account in determining those top cities. I guess climate is somewhat subjective. If you like snow, Minnesota and Indiana are where you want to be. If you like heat, Texas is the place for you. But as for me, I think our climate is better than those places. Or would you like to know the other small cities across the country that we beat out? Bowie is ranked higher than Chapel Hill, North Carolina, higher than Overland Park, Kansas, higher than Johns Creek, Georgia, higher than Ann Arbor, Michigan, higher than Fairfield, Connecticut, higher than St. George, Utah, higher than White Plains, New York. Well, the main knocks against Bowie were education and jobs. Schools are mixed bags. Some schools are great, some are just average, and there are not many big employers here in Bowie. But other than that, the quality of life around here is outstanding. Now, of course, I already knew that. Linda and I have lived in Bowie for almost 30 years. We used to live in Silver Spring. We really like Silver Spring. We like Bowie even better. Housing is much more affordable in Bowie than it was in Silver Spring. And believe it or not, the median family income is actually higher here than in Silver Spring. And I think traffic is less congested. Now, I know 301 during rush hour is no picnic. But if you drive to Montgomery County or you drive to Northern Virginia, then you really experience what traffic congestion is all about. There's a lot to like about this place. There's a community spirit in our town. There's a small town feel about it. If you want to, you can get to know the mayor and the members of the city council. But Bowie's big enough to collect the trash and to keep the common areas tidy and to make sure the snow is plowed in the winter. And since so many restaurants and stores have opened, we seldom have to go out of town to shop or dine. In fact, Linda complains to me about that. She says, "We never leave Bowie." Hey, I like it here. Now, the only danger about living in Bowie or Crofton or Davidsonville or Upper Marlboro or Glendale or Annapolis or wherever you might live in the area, the only danger is that we can become enamored with our quality of life. Now, there's always someplace more upscale than where we live, but we have it pretty good here. We don't consider ourselves wealthy, but we have a pretty good standard of living. That may be why Jesus said, "Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And to drive home the lesson, Jesus told a parable about a rich man who had an abundance of possessions and was living the good life. He began the parable, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly." In other words, the rich man lived in one of the best places in the country, like where we live, top 4%. The only problem was the rich man had too much. He wondered where to put all that he possessed. Does that sound familiar? I don't know if you've noticed all the storage rental facilities that we have in our community. You can drive up 301 to 3 and you see these storage rental places just one after the other. Apparently a lot of people have more stuff than they know what to do with. And so they've got to rent a storage locker in order to store the excess that won't fit in the place where they're living. Well, the rich man didn't rent a storage unit. He decided to tear down his barns and build bigger ones to store all of his grain and all of his other goods. And there he would have enough space to store all that he had. And then he thought to himself, "Now I've got it made. I can relax, eat, drink, be merry." He imagined that his material possessions would provide him with security. But God said to the rich man, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you." Then all the things that the rich man had stored up, what good would all those goods do him? And Jesus concluded the parable with these words of warning: "So it will be with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Well, some biblical commentators have observed that Jesus seemed to talk about money and material possessions more than almost any other subject. And Jesus talked about money so much not because he was obsessed with money, but because he knew how obsessed with material things we can be. And Jesus knew how dangerous materialism is to our souls. There was a flattering profile in the newspaper last Sunday about Jay Leno, the stand-up comedian, used to be the host of The Tonight Show on NBC Television. During his television career, Jay Leno was paid handsomely to the tune of some $25 million a year just to host The Tonight Show. Now, he was on The Tonight Show for 22 years, more than two decades, so you can do the math how much he made. Well, I was interested to read that Jay Leno and his wife decided that they would not live off of what he made from doing The Tonight Show. They'd put that money in the bank or in other investments. They decided they would live just off what he made doing stand-up comedy, which he kind of did on the side when he wasn't hosting The Tonight Show. And apparently, they lived very well on what he made doing stand-up comedy. That job paid an incredible amount. Now that he's not on television anymore, he's doing stand-up comedy all over the country. He does about 200 performances a year, often in small towns. And get this, he gets paid for each stand-up comic performance $100,000 to $200,000 a year for each one. Again, do the math. Well, I said the profile was flattering because it portrayed Jay Leno as a relatively humble and unpretentious fellow, even if he does make boatloads of money. He doesn't have a team of personal assistants traveling with him from place to place. He travels by himself, carries his own suitcase, typically eats in local restaurants, He keeps a wad of $20 bills in his pocket so he can tip the stagehands and the other workers at each venue. Now, the one concession he makes to his celebrity is his mode of travel. He cannot fly commercial because he often goes to small cities that don't have a commercial air service, and so he travels by private plane, small private plane. Other than that, he comes across as a pretty regular guy. When he's not on stage, he's wearing blue jeans and an open collar denim shirt. After each performance, he spends a lot of time mingling with the crowd, shaking hands, signing autographs, posing for pictures, just being with his fans. And aside from the private plane, the one area where he seems to indulge himself is his hobby. And his hobby is collecting expensive automobiles and motorcycles. He keeps his collection of some 130 cars and 92 motorcycles in warehouses outside the Burbank Airport in California. Sounds kind of like building those bigger barns, doesn't it? He employs several master mechanics just to keep all those fine automobiles and motorcycles in tip-top shape. Now, as I read the profile, I was impressed by the fact that he doesn't act like a star, the fact that he saved all his money from The Tonight Show, the fact that he recognizes how ridiculous that he was paid such vast sums of money to be on TV, and how absurd it is that he makes so much money doing stand-up comedy. He recognizes all of that. But the warehouses filled with expensive vehicles reminds us that possessions can have a powerful pull on our souls, no matter how grounded we seem to be. Now, you and I don't make crazy money like Jay Leno. But we have the same struggle of figuring out how much is enough. And if we're really honest about it, most of us would probably say, I'd like a little more. I'd like to have a little bit more financial security. I'd like to prepare a little bit better for my retirement. I'd like to maybe live in a better place. I'd like to maybe get all my bills paid and not be having so much debt. I'd like just a little more. And we have the same temptation to store up for ourselves treasures on earth instead of being rich toward God. The real issue is not how much we have, and truth be told, most of us have enough. The real issue is what we do with what we have. I don't know if Jay Leno professes any religion or not. I do know that he doesn't hesitate to poke fun at religion, especially what he considers to be hypocritical religion. And I know that he's done a lot of good. He's contributed to a lot of charitable causes, muscular dystrophy, Autism Speaks. His wife is on a board that is concerned with the plight of women in Afghanistan. He's donated support for wounded war veterans. He was involved in the 9/11 recovery efforts, donating support for that. And so no doubt he's done a lot of good with his celebrity and his fortune. But is he rich toward God? Only God knows. For us, the issue is not, is Jay Leno rich toward God, but are we rich toward God? What is the focus of our lives? What do we really care about? What is most important to us? How do we spend our time? How do we spend our money? Is our main purpose in life to build bigger barns? Or is our purpose to make a difference in the world and thereby to enlarge our souls? Are we making a difference with what God has given us? Here's the thing. Life is short. No matter how old you are, life is short. Not a single one of us is guaranteed even one more day. Our only security is not in our money, not in our possessions, not in all that we have. Our only security is in God, and our lives are in His hands. True riches come through our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Whatever your dress, if you believe in Jesus, you live in a good place. It's the best place to be. Our Father, we confess that most of us struggle with money. We struggle with trying to get more, and we struggle with doing the right thing with what we have. And we confess, our Father, it is so tempting to want more. It's so tempting to make the things of this earth our ultimate priority. It's so tempting to become enwrapped in materialism so that we almost forget about You. Jesus told this parable for people like us, people who live in Bowie and the surrounding area, people who are in the top 4% of the country, to remind us that the abundance of possessions is not the true wealth of life. Rather, O God, the true riches come from our faith in Jesus. Help us to make those decisions that will honor You. Help us to live in such a way that what we do with what we have gives You honor and glory and makes a difference in the world. We thank You for Your manifold blessings. Make us good stewards of all that we've received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn. And we offer you the opportunity to make a Christian commitment. If you've never publicly accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and followed Him as a believer in baptism, we'd offer you that opportunity to make that decision today. Or maybe you've already been a Christian, you've been baptized, you've followed Jesus, but you're not a part of this church. You'd want to unite with us. We'd welcome that decision as well. The invitation is to come to the front. If we stand together and sing hymn number 490, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated."
Thank you. Spirit be with us and abide upon us all, now and forever.